Welcome to the Insights solo episodes of the Culture and Leadership Connections podcast. My name is Marie Gervais. If you're passionate about gleaning leadership gems from others and delight at the capacity of the human spirit to survive and thrive, this is the show for you. After interviewing 100 plus guests from diverse cultures and professions, I have learned a thing or two about what makes successful people tick and effective managers lead. In each episode, I elaborate on one or several of the themes sparked by Culture and Leadership Connections guests and reflect on how these motifs can help us all be better humans. Join me as we contribute to the leadership discourse by elevating thought around the cultures and leadership themes that influence management and work. And now for today's episode. Hello, Culture and Leadership Connections podcast listeners. I would like to welcome you to episode 10 of the Insights solo podcasts, Listening to the Wisdom of Your Body. We have bodies and we have brains, and they are intricately connected. 80% of the messages from our nervous system travel up from the body to the brain, and 20% travel down from the brain to the body. Interesting, isn't it? Perceiving these messages within ourselves and allowing ourselves to actually experience them rather than pushing them away is essential to tapping into our full capacity as human beings. Societally, we've been trained to ignore those messages that come from the body or to push them down and to just focus on our conscious thoughts. There's the famous quote, "As I think, so I am," and we believe that our conscious thinking is all of who we are. In fact, it is only a part of it. And without paying attention to the wisdom of the body, we are limited. We don't have the inputs of sensation, emotion, image, memory, or meaning. And those things are necessary to fully complete the data process so that we can make good decisions and experience life as it is instead of how we project it to be. So the result is that our words, our thoughts, and our behaviors are typically more often ruled by unconscious reactions from the danger perception base of our brain. And when we do that, we can have real or imagined perceptions that influence what we do, what we say, and how we feel about things that may be completely imaginary. If we aren't facing imminent war or saber-toothed tiger, we probably are imagining the danger. However, that does not help to remove it from your system or to experience it in your system and to use it. So conversely, we also perceive safety, but we are more hardwired to perceive danger because that's what keeps us alive. Perceiving safety, however, is really necessary to being able to perceive a situation accurately. If we don't see the safety cues in the situation, then we're only reacting out of danger, which is, of course, going to be inaccurate. Now, you've probably heard people say, oh, you should listen to your heart or follow your intuition. And you may have felt compelled at moments in your life to take a decision that just feels right. This is part of heart wisdom. And there is heart math research, which was done by a cardiologist and stress researcher together, who talked about the rate and the patterns of the heart and how that affects health and stress. And they found that the heart's electrical field is 60 times greater than the brain's electrical field. Think about that. 60 times greater, the heart. Its electrical field is 60 times greater than the brain's electrical field. And then 80% of the messages from our nervous system are coming up from the body into the brain. So just imagine how much we're missing out on if we don't know how to tap into that wisdom. So Dr. Childe, who was uncovering heart math research, discovered that these heart patterns of communication involve human, energetic, electromagnetic, neurochemical, biophysical, and hormonal information that are essential to health. Isn't that cool? The heart does a whole lot more than we thought it did. I think Thomas Kramer's quote, "What the heart loves, the will chooses, and the mind justifies," can really revolutionize how we understand ourselves and others, irrespective of the science. Let me just quote Thomas Kramer one more time. "The heart loves, the will chooses, and the mind justifies." So what we're attracted to in safety is something we will choose and then justify later. And that can also be a desire. So whatever the heart desires, the will choose, and the mind will justify. That may or may not be a good thing, but we're not going to go into that area right now today. So sticking with perceptions, we have perceptions of danger, which invoke fear, and safety, which invoke love and happiness. The body senses these things before the mind is actually aware of them. And you may also have felt this as a gut reaction. The gut reaction comes from vagal fibers that are moving from the brainstem up and down the body, with a large percentage of them in the intestinal wall. Sometimes people say you have a second brain in your gut, and that's because there are so many fibers in the nervous system that are going up and down to the brain. It's something that we actually need to pay attention to because it's affecting everything that we do. Other areas of the body that has a lot of these vagal fibers from the vagus nerve that's connected from our brainstem to the whole body is the face and the neck. And to relate to others, we need those nerve endings in the facial muscles, the eyes, the ears, and the throat, so we can coordinate them expressively and show sadness, happiness, surprise, pensiveness, all the other things that we show using our face. And the other thing that this affects is the tone of voice, the throat, and also the eyes, so widening and narrowing of the eyes. So all of those things, if we aren't paying attention to them, we don't notice them, we're going to miss a lot of information in other people's faces. So what does this mean and why should you care? Well, I care about this because it has made such a big difference in my life, both personally and professionally. I did not notice any of these body messages for most of my life. I totally didn't. Without being aware of it, I was held hostage to my reactions of fear and love, danger and safety, constantly, throughout the day. This impacted my relationships with my family, my colleagues, my students, and it adversely affected my health. I developed a host of costly physical issues that likely could have been averted or greatly reduced had I known just how to listen to my body. So my own journey to somatic awareness, which is another term for listening to the body, is an ongoing daily process. I'm learning every day more and more about it, and it's very interesting. Additionally, I work with coaching clients, I train managers, and just being alive in the world, and I have realized that this separation of body from thought is such a common problem, and many people are completely unaware of how much it is affecting them, just as I was completely unaware. This inner disconnect causes us to perceive the world through the lens of our own safety and danger body reactions, and then we just project it onto other people. So it's like taking a movie and projecting it out onto the wall. It's not the reality of the wall. So if we want to understand the wall, we have to look at the wall without the projection on top of it. And if we want to understand other people, we have to look at them without our own perceptions of danger and safety coloring it. Projecting our own understandings on others causes pain, unhappiness, and misunderstandings that can be very hard to get past. And in many cases, we may not even be able to get past them because they're just such big wounds. So there is a way to get around this because on the flip side, as we learn to pay attention to the messages we receive in the body, we can actually gain better awareness, better perception, better intuition, and better thinking. And it helps us to be healthier and to connect more effectively with others. So you might be thinking, well, okay, this all sounds good, but how do I actually do that? How do I start listening to my body? How do I develop somatic awareness? Well, I can say it in two words, slow down. That's it. Slow down. Now, slow the body, slow the breath, slow the mind. All of those things cause you to start paying attention to the inside of yourself rather than just the outside. The slowing process integrates you and heals you, but it is very difficult for people to do. One of the reasons is because we're so overwired to react that even if I say slow down, people often feel anxiety to hear that. I've had clients say to me, I don't want to do anything that slows me down. I'm not going to do it. I won't, because I'm just going to think it through. And they are in such a stress reaction that they can't even notice what they're feeling at all. And they don't realize that the slowing down process is necessary. The reason they don't is because according to our body's most primitive responses, action feels like staying alive and stillness feels like death, right? So if you're moving, you're alive. If you're completely immobile, you're probably dead. That's why the body can react by thinking, oh no, I can't be still, I may die, right? That's a perception of danger that doesn't exist because here's the other side of stillness. When we're asleep, our body is healing and we're completely still when we're sleeping. When we're still and safe in the arms of someone we love, if we're hugging a child, if we're cuddling an animal, our body is producing well-being hormones and that stillness is very nourishing. When we slow down to think comprehensively about something, we have such a deep feeling of satisfaction and accomplishment. This idea that if we slow down at all, we may die, which is probably unconscious, is actually inaccurate. But how do you get past that anxiety piece? How do you do that? Well, you have to learn to slow down the nervous system in small ways, moments. And those little moments become glimmerings that, as we add them together, improve our collective sense of well-being and safety and allow us to heal and to respond appropriately to what we see around us. So what does this look like? Practically, it looks like this. close your eyes and tune into your body for a few seconds. It can also be listening to music attentively, the entire song, start to finish, without anything else. Just listen to it. It can feel like taking in a beautiful nature scene and allowing it to just fill us up with joy and satisfaction. It can be a breath in and out that resets the body and the mind at the same time. It can be a moment of appreciation and gratitude. When you put all of these things together, this is what people often refer to as mindfulness or mindfulness practice. I think a better term might be perceptiveness practice, because we're perceiving what's happening inside our bodies and allowing ourselves to experience them. As we perceive ourselves and our environments in a moment of stillness, we increase our ability to stay with a sensation or an emotion, even if it's unpleasant, until it completes the stress cycle. Every emotion and every sensation has its own cycle, and that cycle needs to be completed. If it's interrupted, maintain it within your body. And when you complete this stress cycle, it promotes acceptance and attunement. And the benefits are stronger intuition, better ideas, more fully formed action plans, but it doesn't happen in a hurry. It happens in multiple moments of stillness throughout the day. When I explain this to people, they frequently say, well, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for stillness. I don't have time to tune into my emotions. And they also say, well, what if my emotions take over and I'm just a hot mess and I can't pull myself together and do my work? According to Dr. Jill Bolt-Taylor, who did amazing research based on her own experience of having a stroke, once you know what to do, the amount of time required to process an emotion and allow it to just be experienced in yourself consciously is, wait for it, 90 seconds. That's it. 90 seconds. 90 seconds is all it takes for a full emotional stress cycle to complete and release. You probably have experienced this if you've bumped yourself or scraped yourself. You just experience that pain of the scrape or the bump. It never takes longer than 90 seconds because that's what it takes to complete the stress cycle of the wound. Now, there'll be other things that will come up, but within that moment, it's 90 seconds. So my question is, do you have time to repair all the broken relationships and health problems that come from lack of stillness? Or would you rather spend 90 seconds a couple of times a day and not have those unpleasant disruptive issues to begin with? This is what I had to learn to do myself, and I'm still in the process of learning it. My own inner stillness opens me up to awareness of others. As I learn to recognize my own inner signs of safety and danger, I begin to notice them in other people. I notice what their bodies are communicating to me because I'm paying attention to the wisdom of their bodies and my own. This is essential to reading my own inner reality and theirs, instead of projecting my perceptions onto them. And as I notice my own nervous system responding to that other person, I can apply the necessary stillness strategies and techniques to stay present. And when I do that, the other person feels deeply acknowledged and heard. And that feeling of being acknowledged and heard is a really important heart and soul connection. It's very satisfying, and it doesn't take long. All of these processes are a matter of seconds. But if you don't practice them, you won't have them at your disposal. So once we practice stillness, it becomes more and more a state of being. Instead of having a state of anxiety, we have a state of stillness, which allows us to experience what is and make appropriate decisions. So let me sum this all up. The body has a lot of messages, and it's communicating these messages to us 24/7 via our nervous system. As we start to pay attention to these messages through moments of stillness, we experience more happiness, health, and ability to relate effectively to others. That's it. I thought you might find that useful. And if you would like to learn how to do this, I have a little video on LinkedIn called My Morning Routine. That gives you a whole whack of different things that I do. It might give you some ideas, which you can find if you just look for my profile, Marie Gervais, on LinkedIn. Another thing you can do is to give yourself the gift of a 30-minute Zoom call with me, and we can practice one of those techniques. It is pretty amazing. You spend a little bit of time practicing one or two of those techniques, and then you have them at your disposal. And the way to do that is to go to my website and look for 30-minute meeting. Oh, there's a whole bunch of little calls to action. They're all buttons about, you know, connect with me, talk to me. And they all go to the same place. A 30-minute complimentary session with you to address something that matters to you. And in this case, it would be to learn how to practice one of the stillness techniques and to integrate it into your life so that it feels natural for you. So I invite you to do that. If you find that this was useful to listen to, please do share it with a friend, because we want more and more people to be happy and healthy and to start listening to the messages of their bodies. And if you would like that as well, please share it with someone you think it would be useful for. And then you can also rate and review us on our website. And that's shiftworkplace.com/podcast. And there in the middle, you'll see the red box. That red box allows you to leave a comment. And if you wish, you can also leave a donation, a contribution to the podcast. And thank you so much for listening. And may culture and leadership connections continue to guide and inspire your day. Today, I want to feature Danielle Gagnon's shout out from FanList. After listening to our interview together, Danielle went straight to our podcast page on the shiftworkplace.com website and clicked on the support the podcast link and left this awesome message.
Hello, my name is Danielle Gagnon. I'm the co-founder of Agile Leader Academy, and I was the guest on Marie's podcast, Culture and Leadership Connections. I just wanted to take a moment to emphasize what a tremendously insightful experience being interviewed and having a dialogue with Marie was on the show. And when I re-listened to it, I realized the potential for listeners to glean insights into their own experiences, because Marie brings a unique lens, that of the groups to which we belong. I don't know of anyone else who actually takes this approach, and it creates a deeper understanding of one's own journey. So highly recommend the program, highly recommend Marie. Just an incredibly insightful experience for me as a guest.
Thank you so much, Daniel, for your compliments and for your support.